Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551, wash your hands. A lot of people upset about what's happening at the minute, or what is proposed, level five with enforcement. And people are saying we would not have had to go to level five with enforcement if level three had been enforced. And they're talking about house parties, they're talking about the march in Dublin on Saturday, they're talking about the GAA, where the GAA have now stepped in and abandoned or cancelled all club games. So that's the end of celebrations that get out of control. But people are saying, why isn't level three enforced? Now, let me go to Aisling O'Donoghue first, because this is, again, COVID-related, but an awful, awful scenario. Aisling, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
And first of all, condolences. Your husband died suddenly. Was it this day last month?
This day last month.
Okay. Yeah. Now, not that you need to be reminded of it, because he was a young man, is never more than a minute from your thoughts and grief at the minute. But what happened today?
Well, the post arrived this morning, and it's my son. It's our son's 12th birthday.
Okay.
So went down to get the cards for him, and there was a letter addressed to my husband, Neil. And it was from the HSE, and it is a COVID test result.
Yeah.
So when Neil died at home, we don't know why yet,
okay,
but was brought to Beaumont. Paramedics were amazing. They informed us in Beaumont that there would have to be a post-mortem.
Okay.
And before they could carry out a post-mortem, they would have to do a COVID test.
Right.
So that's all fine and everything else. The post-mortem went ahead, and a month on, the letter arrived today, addressed to Neil, as I said, which is to say that the test taken on, they have the 9th of the 7th, the American way, but it was the 7th of the 9th,
okay,
that it was reported by the laboratory as not detected, and that it goes on to say, you've seen the letter, I'm sure, that if he has any symptoms, he needs to restrict his movements until 48 hours after the symptoms end. And
oh my God.
I'm trying to keep this from the kids, because it's a hard day as it is. And I'm here in a bedroom trying to talk to you without them knowing about it. But my main reason for dashing off the email to you is to try and prevent this happening to anybody else, and to try and figure out why he can't be the first person who's died who required the post-mortem, who's had a COVID test.
Yeah.
That how is there no protocol on a test form that states that the person has died?
And the reason why you're near...
And the reason, Well, presumably that the next of kin will be contacted. But also, if the letter assumes he's still alive, which it does, it's taken a month for the result to come back. So if you were alive and you were waiting for a test result a month, you're going to have an awful lot of interactions with people in that month while you're waiting for your test result. So it just raises two questions. And I think on the, especially with the news yesterday and today and all the uncertainty about going to level five and all the implications on everything everyone in the country has been through, just the lack of attention to detail, it doesn't give you a lot of confidence, and it's just another hard thing to deal with at a time when you're dealing with enough other stuff. And I know people are going through awful things at the moment, and the sense of pain and anguish and frustration in the country, and the losses people have endured without being able to be with their loved ones. At least we were in the hospital. We found Neil dead. My 14-year-old attempted CPR. We did everything we could. But it's just the general sense of anguish in the country. And then these kind of what are probably considered a minor oversight, and yet they're not. They speak to a bigger lack of competence, lack of attention to detail. And I just I'm sorry, I acted on impulse and just dashed off that email to you, but I felt if there was any way I could prevent anyone else getting that letter.
So just to be clear, though, yeah, you have been very clear, Aisling. And again, you say, I don't think, I know other people are going, I don't think anyone in the country is going, sorry, there are other people who are going through turmoil and grief like you are. Yeah. I don't think there's anyone going through greater grief than you are. People are grieving. And it's so good of you to mention other people and their jobs and the economy. But people will understand. Your husband died a month ago today, suddenly, 42 years of age.
Yeah.
He died, did he die in the ambulance or the hospital or whatever? But
no, he died at home.
He died at home. Okay, so the protocol is for the handling of the remains. The protocol is that everyone has to have a COVID test, including people who are deceased. Your husband had a COVID test, but the only reason he had a COVID test was because he was deceased. He didn't die of COVID, obviously.
No.
He dropped
dead,
the poor man. But the only reason he had a COVID test is in case he had it for people who were handling the remains. We understand that. But that is the reason your husband had a COVID test was because he was dead. And a month later, and am I seeing your letterbox this morning?
Yeah.
Am I seeing lots of cards coming in for your 12-year-old?
Yeah.
Well, a few cards, hopefully.
Yeah.
For your 12-year-old, it's a really big birthday. And in among that is a letter addressed to your husband.
Yes.
From the state.
Exactly.
From
the
state.
Yeah, from the HSE National Test and Trace Team.
Saying, please, you've tested negative for coronavirus. Please restrict your movements, just in case, anyway.
Well, I'll tell you exactly. The HSE has received the result of your SARS-CoV-2 test for COVID-19 taken on the 9th of the 7th, the American way. It was the 7th of the 9th. Your test for SARS-CoV-2 was reported by the laboratory as not detected. This is commonly called a negative result. This is the result of the test referred to above. If you have had other tests for COVID-19, this result needs to be interpreted with your doctor in light of the previous results, other test results and your symptoms. If you have symptoms like those of COVID-19, you should restrict your movements until 48 hours after your symptoms end. If your symptoms continue, get worse, or there are others you are connected with who are unwell, contact your GP to discuss the need for another test. If you require any further information, please contact HSE Live. Yours sincerely, the HSE National Test and Trace Team.
I don't know how you're doing it, Aisling. I really don't. I really don't.
Well, I'm channeling some of my frustration and pain into
you're doing it to try and bring it to the attention of the powers that be.
Yeah, exactly.
Please. And we presume anyone who dies unexpectedly has to be tested anyway. Not because you can die.
I've no issue with any of that.
Of course.
I mean, that's no problem. That's not. I totally understand the reason behind everything, but I just don't understand that why there would not be a protocol in place for this. That if somebody dies on the test form, it doesn't say this person is deceased, and the results. Even if the results go to them, that's acknowledged in the letter.
It's simple.
But
it's
the letter is to Neil, and it's private and confidential for the addressee only. So, it's taking it that he's alive and that he's going to be receiving these test results, which, as I say, the other question is that they've taken a month. So if they're assuming he's alive, it's a long time for a test result to come back, never mind the fact that he isn't alive. So it's just on a couple of levels, it's hard, very, very, very hard. And
you say, in your communication, Aisling, there's other little things as well, spellings and dates.
These are all, I filled in all the forms in the hospital, and then when I got the letter from the coroner to notify us that there would be a post-mortem, they had spelled Neil's name incorrectly. Then they requested a lot of information, which I emailed back to them so that they could issue the interim death certificate. And I pointed out that they had spelled his name incorrectly, and please ensure it was correct on the interim death certificate. And when that came, the address was spelled differently to our address. So I'm sorry. They're all small things, I just think attention to detail is important, and attention to detail feeds into where we're at with COVID, how successful we're going to be in getting through this. It demands attention to detail from all of us, and it demands rigor and that things be done correctly. And they're all tiny little details, and I'm sure people are under pressure and they're doing their best and all the rest. But they're a separate thing, but you know, just hard at the same time.
And the whole, your husband has died at a very young age, 42, died suddenly. Mm. And to think, and I know you're so understanding and you're so empathetic to the plight of other people, what they're going through, but you're understanding of people being under pressure as well. But to think that within a month, the state still believe he's alive. One arm of the state still believe he's still alive, which really hurts you. Another arm of the state doesn't even bother to spell his name correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So part of the whole thing about grieving is keeping your husband's, and you will, I know you will, and your children will, your husband's name and memory alive correctly.
Yeah.
And that's not being done at the minute.
No. No, and
is there anything
else
you want? I don't want to. I'm thinking of your. Is it two children you mentioned there?
Two, okay. They're brilliant. They're amazing, and they're. But it's a very tough day today, and they both went back to school last week. But my son on his birthday, it really hit him hard this morning, so he wasn't able to go in. But it's, as I say, I don't. I'm sure they're wondering what I'm doing at the moment and what sort of call I'm taking, and I'm sure they're worried. Okay. But I don't want them to see this have this other thing to, you know, deal with. Yeah. But to see this letter, but yeah, it's awful. It's really horrendous in every way. But
it's up to you, Aisling. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Neil? He's only 42, young man.
Fantastic. Fantastic man, and I don't think I can, Joe, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I understand completely.
Yeah,
and I think the way you've fought there in your own way, the way you fought for his name, his memory, his date, and his death to be recorded properly is enough testimony to the greatness of the man. Aisling, I'm so. Upset for you, as a lot of people are. I can see on the screen already. It's a lesson to people. Please, if there's a COVID test done on somebody who's deceased, and it's obvious that COVID is, you're not trying to find out if COVID was a cause of death, obviously, but you are trying to find out for how the remains are to be handled. Please, somebody write that clearly in red marker or red ink. This individual, unfortunately, is deceased, and please bear that in mind in any communication with the next of kin. May you rest in peace, Aisling. And
thank you, Joe.
Thanks indeed. That's Aisling O'Donoghue. I just don't want to follow that with another call. I really don't.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.